A very good morning on behalf of Teacher 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Tainus Daf Chof Aleph, Tainus 21a, pagination, page 41, starting from the top line at the end of the line. Ilfa is the name of a great Talmud Chacham, V'Rab Yechanan and Rab Yechanan. Havagarsi Be'oraisa, they were both learning Torah together. Dechiku Lehu Milsa Tuva, and things were getting very difficult, says Rashi. Anius, poverty. Amri, so they said, Nekim v'nezil v'navid isko. Let us go and try business. Unikayim b'nafshin, we will be fulfilling in ourselves. Efes ki lo yiye b'cha evyon. There's a pasuk that says that there shouldn't be a poor person in you. And we learn from there in other contexts that a person is supposed to pay attention to his finances, and there are times when he's allowed to fend for himself, even to the exclusion of some other goodwill or mitzvah endeavor, such as if his own aveda, lost object, needs to be chased, and someone else's lost object needs to be chased. He has the right to say, Efes ki lo yiyeh b'cha evyon, I'm allowed to chase my own lost object and protect myself. And they invoked this pasuk as a guidepost from the Torah that it's time for them to go into business. Interestingly, that they needed a proof from the Torah to decide, because they're only going to leave the Beis Medrash if that is Das Torah. Ozlu, they went. Osve tuse guda re'ia, they were sitting under a shaky fence. Hava kokarchi rifta, they were eating. Osu tre malachi ashares, two angels came. Shame Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan heard them as they talked. Do amachad lechavrei, one told his friend, Nishti alayu hai guda, let us throw this wall on them. Kill them. V'niktalinu. Shemanichem chayolam abov oskim b'chayisho, because they are leaving the eternal life and being involved, choosing the direction of temporary life. And apparently the Malachim considered it a bizayon ha-Torah that two such great Tamidei Chachamim were allowing the pressure to get in their way and go out to business. If anybody has ideas of invoking this Gemara as a proof for their own behavior, pro or con, they should promptly consult their reliable religious mentor to decide if they are extrapolating the message of the Gemara correctly. Bein letov, bein lemutov. But that's the story regarding Rabbi Yechanan and Ilfa. Omar le'idoch, the other angel responded, and Rabbi Yechanan is listening to all this, Shavkinu, leave them be, don't topple the fence on them. De'ika behu chad, because I can tell that one of them, kaimo le'shaita, is going to one day become something great. Rabbi Yechanan shama, Ilfa lo shama. Rabbi Yechanan heard the conversation of the angels, and Ilfa did not. Omale Rabbi Yechanan le Ilfa. Rabbi Yechanan confirms with Ilfa. He says, shama marmiti, did you hear anything? What Rabbi Yechanan heard clearly as a conversation, omale lo, Ilfa says, I didn't hear anything. Omar. So Rabbi Yechanan said, Midishami ano, since I heard the conversation, Ve'ilfa lo shama, and Ilfa did not hear the conversation, Shmami no, it must be that they're telling me a message, Lididi kaima li shaita, that it's all going to work out for me. Omale Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan told him, Ihade ve'uki b'nafshoi, I'm going back, and I'm going to fulfill in myself a different pasuk. Ki lo yechtel evyon mikerev ha'aretz, there will never end poverty from the world. The Gemara in Shabbos uses this to prove that even in the times of Mashiach there's going to be poverty. And presumably what Rabbi Yochanan was saying was, there is poverty in the world. So who says if I go into business, I'm going to be able to change it? Maybe that's just my lot in life. I might as well go back to the Beis Medrash. Poverty will not end. So it's not really in my hands. Rabbi Yochanan hodar, Ilfa lo hodar. Rabbi Yochanan returned to the Beis Medrash, Ilfa did not. Ada'osa Ilfa, by the time Ilfa came back, could be it was a very long time, but by the time he came back, Malach Rabbi Yochanan became the king. And this expression is used because he became Rosh Yeshiva. He was the leader of the academy, but Rashi points out also Megadlim Osom Yishalohem. He's like a king. Ma'ashirim Osom. They make him wealthy. They appointed him as a leader in the different dimensions of leadership. Amrulo, they told Ilfa, I osiv mar vigoris lo hava molech mar. Had you remained, you would have gotten the position. So Ilfa took that to heart as a comment that needed to be responded to. Ozal tola nafshe beiskaryo de sefinta. He hung himself, holding on, by the mast of the ship. Omar, and he made the statement, I'ika desharli b'masnisa d'rabchia v'ravoshia v'lo pashtino lei mimasnisin. If there's anybody who can ask me a question and I can't answer, nafilno me'iskaryo desfinta v'tavano, I'll fall, whether he's cursing himself or whatever it is, he says, I'll fall from the ship and I'll drown. He made a statement that even though he went into business, he still continued his learning and he still felt that he was superior to the other scholars, and he was qualified, despite his going into business. Why, of all things, did he climb up to the mast of a ship? So, possibly, the symbolic representation of a ship in Jewish literature is the tribe of Zevulun, the business people who did trade through ships. And perhaps what he was saying is that I was in the Beis Medrash, I was trying to be a Yisachar, I did not have a Zevulun to support me, so I took upon myself Zevulun to be that role of business, but I did not, as he's saying, give up the Yisachar, and I really have both. There's another Gemara over here about a shaky wall. If you'll join me in the wide lines on the third line of the widest. Amru alav al Nachum ish Gamzu. They said about Nachum ish Gamzu, Sheyasuma mishtei einav, he was blind in both eyes, Gide mishtei yadav, his hands were cut off, Kiteya mishtei raglav, his legs were cut off, V'chol gufa molo shchin, and his entire body was full of boils. V'yamuta b'vayis re'ua, he was in a shaky house. V'ragli mitaso munachim b'sefaldim shalmayim k'dei shelo yalu alav namolim. And in order to avoid ants climbing up on the bed, and I guess attacking him, so they had the legs of his bed in water to protect the bed. And one time they realized that the house was so shaky, they had to get him out. Apparently he was poverty stricken as well. So they wanted to get the bed out of there to better location. And apparently he had talmidim, he was still teaching Torah, he was still a leader. They wanted to take him out and then take the furniture out. Omar Lohem and Nochem Ishgamzu instructed them, Bonai, my children, Panuas Akelim, first take out the vessels, Va'achakach Panuas Mitosi, and then take my bed out with me. Shamuftach Lohem, because I can guarantee it, Kozman Sha'ani Bebayis, as long as I'm in the house, Ein Abayis Nofel. The house won't fall as long as I'm in it. Pinu es hakelim, so they listened. They first took out the furniture, v'achakach pinu es mitaso, and then they took out his bed, v'nafal habayis, and then, indeed, the house fell. I heard from my Rebbe a beautiful message over here. Every house has to have a nochem ishgamzu. If you want the house, the Jewish home, to stay, to last, it has to have a Talmud Chacham's presence. You have to show allegiance in the house to a nochem ishgamzu, whether it's Sfarim, it's learning Torah, it's doing Torah. You have to have a nochem ishgamzu in your home. And if you do, then even if for other reasons it's wobbly, so to speak, but the nochem ishgamzu's presence will make sure that the house does not fall. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.